Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
John Davis and Orlando Franklin riding with you today. Well, Stokely and Zach are out. Well, Zach will be here later on in the drive with D-Mac. Orlando, how about this? Indianapolis Colts sign your old buddy Justin Houston.
That's a great signing for them. They've been lacking a pass rusher out there. I mean, it's a good signing for him. And, you know, I'm surprised the Indianapolis Colts, you know, just didn't get everybody in free agency.
I think they did it smart. Yeah, I think that was the way to do it.
But, I mean, you got your quarterback that's under contract, and literally you could have went and paid for a C.J. Mosley. You could have went and paid for a Le'Veon Bell. You could have even attempted to trade for a guy like Antonio Brown. Like, there's so many different things that they could have did because they walked into free agency with over $100 million.
So much money.
I mean, literally, I mean, so when I look at, you know, the pass rushers, and that I look at a guy like a D Ford, I look at a guy like Justin Houston, those guys were available. You had enough money to bring both of them in if you wanted to. I mean, but they just did not want to. It was just a little weird in what they did in free agency to me.
I would think, for one, I think Justin Houston's a great signing, for one, for them. I think he can still play. He terrorized us every time he played, whether he was hurt or not. I like what they did, though. Le'Veon Bell sat out last year. They're not tied down to that. CJ
Mosley.
But
you're going to give Futches $13 million? Devin Futches?
Is that what they gave him?
It was nuts.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, like,
if I was him,
what? What do you mean? Like,
I would have gone for CJ Mosley if I was them.
Yeah.
With that money.
Could you imagine the combination of Leonard and CJ Mosley? You got two Pro Bowl.
And Justin Houston.
Yeah, you got two Pro Bowl type of linebackers. I mean, it would be nuts. I mean, and then you got Justin Houston rushing the passer. They're a couple pieces away from being right there. I mean, if they can shore up that defense and continue to get better, I mean, get a real dominant pass rusher. I think Justin Houston has taken a dip in his play as far as, you know, he's not Justin Houston of 5 years ago before the knee injury that sat him out all year. But he's came back and he's done some really good things the past couple seasons of playing. So, I mean, it's a great signing for a team that desperately needed to create pressure on opposing team's quarterbacks. They went and got a guy that could still do it.
With the Colts, it's kind of an interesting thing. With the Colts, who's a better team? I'm going to put this out to you. They have Justin Houston. The Denver Broncos or the Indianapolis Colts? Who's the better team right now?
I'm going to say the Indianapolis Colts.
Because of one guy. I think it's just because of the one guy.
No, I'm going to say the Indianapolis Colts because they gave up the least amount of sacks last year. And they got a young quarterback in Andrew Luck. I mean, they got a young offensive line that's going to be together for a long period of time. And they got it all figured out up front.
Wait.
I mean, they're going to be able to be dominant in that position for a long period of time. Those guys are going to stay together for 3-4 years.
Well, and maybe they're planning. They got the best offensive and maybe the best defensive player in the draft last year. Quentin Nelson, I think, was the best.
And then Darius Leonard.
Now, will Leonard be the best guy long term? I don't know. I think Quentin Nelson will leave that draft the best player, period. Mm. And I wanted him in Denver. That's a guy I wanted.
Better than Bradley Chubb.
I think he's that good.
Wow.
I think, and that's not a knock to Bradley Chubb. I just think Quentin Nelson is, they were saying generational player when he came out. And it bothered me. Everybody's saying you can't take a guard at five. Why not? Why can't you take a guard?
So hold on,
first team all pro, exactly. Yeah.
So you really don't think that Bradley Chubb will be a generational player for the Denver Broncos?
I think Bradley Chubb can be a generational player for the Denver Broncos.
Let me ask you this real quick. Does Bradley Chubb, since he's drafted here and the Broncos go and retain Bradley Chubb here in 3 or maybe 4 years if they end up taking up his fifth.
They will.
If they have to wait after his fifth-year options. Does Bradley Chubb now, given what he did last year, does Bradley Chubb take over and beat Von Miller's sack record here with the Denver Broncos?
No.
No, he won't.
I don't know. Man. Well, okay, so Von, maybe, because Von missed a season.
He missed
pretty much all of 2013.
Yeah,
he played about five games. Well, he was suspended, and then he got hurt at the end. Remember, he was suspended the first six games.
Yep.
And so then he got hurt at the end. He kind of got bulky. Does Bradley Chubb break Vaughn's? Okay, so here's the argument for it. He's going to spend a lot of his career playing opposite Vaughn. Which is going to allow him
a lot of his career.
He's going to play 5 years of his career playing opposite Vaughn. That's a long time.
So Vaughn will be here for the next 4 years?
Vaughn will be here the next 4 years, yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
I think Vaughn could play another 6 years here. I think he's going to finish his career here. He'll restructure and things like that.
He's going to restructure?
At some point. I'm not saying he'll take less money. At some point, he'll restructure and make it to the end of that deal. I didn't say less money.
Okay.
Mr. Putting words in my mouth. What do you know? You know, Vaughn. What do you know? You're looking at me. You're giving me some weird look like no, you know something.
I think that when Vaughn is up, I don't know that the Broncos organization is going to want to give him the money at that point when his deal is up.
I think people underestimate how much they love Vaughn Miller.
Okay.
I think they
underestimate. Do you remember the deal that Elway didn't want to come up in the first time around?
Yeah, but he came up
almost
with it.
It almost fell apart.
Yeah, but
do you remember that?
Did it, fact or fiction, it happened?
It did happen. So next time it's going to probably work out the same way. It's just going to happen.
It's not going to be a $70 million deal.
I hope so.
Okay,
I definitely hope so.
What is it with everybody at this station besides me wanting Vaughn Miller to leave the Denver Broncos?
Oh, I don't want him to leave. I do not want him to leave. I just think that when he is up, there will be a disconnect with him and upper management where he sees what he sees that he should be getting and what upper management is willing to offer him to stay here.
I don't think it's going
to
get there.
Do they try to offer him? Yes. Do they try to keep him? Yes. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. But I think the offer that they're going to come up with and where they value him is not going to be where Vaughn Miller values himself.
Okay, to answer your question, Bradley Chubb, for Chubb to break Vaughn, because you asked me if Bradley Chubb could break Vaughn's record.
Yeah.
Vaughn's still going to keep getting sacks, so that record's going to grow. Simon Fletcher, for people that didn't watch him play, was an unbelievable player.
Yes.
He was unbelievable. One of the most underrated Bronc of all time.
Dude, if you've been watching football.
Yeah, I've been watching football longer than when you were watching Pinball Clemens in Canada.
Yeah.
I was watching Simon Fletcher. But, okay, Orlando, so if Vaughn does leave town, is there any way you can talk to him and get me and Steven some Yeezys?
I've been talking to Vaughn for years and trying to get Yeezys, and he hasn't came through yet.
Really? Should we call him out? Vaughn, get Big O some Yeezys.
No, he's always said, yeah, I got you. Just hit me up, but I've never really followed through. Like, I'll say something to him and see him at training camp or when I was playing with the Chargers. I'll say something to him during the game and be like, yo, what's up with that Adidas contract? Yo, can I get these? Can I get that? He's like, yeah, anytime. Just hit me up. And I just never follow through.
So you asked me the question. I want you to answer this question. You spun it to me. Quentin Nelson or Bradley Chubb?
Last year.
Who would you rather have right now, today?
Quentin Nelson.
Okay. And that's not a knock to Chubb.
Yeah.
That's not a knock to Bradley Chubb.
You just could look at the roster last year and how it was structured. I mean, Ron Leary, Connor McGovern, Max Garcia, Elijah Wilkinson. You were saying, hey, you know what? Something's got to shake up with these guys at the guard position. Now, if we're talking this year, I'd rather Quentin Nelson, too, because, I mean, we have no guards right now. We don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Orlando, it's going down today. Emmanuel Sanders, it's today at 5. It's happening. Your former teammate, Emmanuel Sanders, will be in studio face-to-face with your current teammate, D-Mac. You guys, you won't want to miss it. It's right here on The Fan. Emmanuel and D-Mac at 5 p.m. Are the Broncos doing their due diligence with these upcoming rookies, or is it just a smokescreen? Are they actually interested? That's next. John Davis and Orlando Franklin sitting in today for the guys Stokely and Zach. Big, Orlando's watching his bracket bust right in front of his face right now, so this has been fantastic. How you liking that? How you got Louisville beating Michigan State in your bracket, oh?
Yeah, I had them, getting by Minnesota today, that's for sure. And also beat a Michigan State in the second round. So
that's what you get for going against our guy,
Richie. I'm a beginner, so it is what it is. It doesn't matter. I mean,
it doesn't matter. Yeah. If you were winning, you would be talking. You'd be like, I'm the GOAT.
No.
I'm the GOAT bracket guy.
I mean.
But anyways,
why not? Why wouldn't I pick Louisville over Minnesota?
I think it's
Louisville.
They're
7, and Minnesota's a 10. And I know exactly what it is. I actually visited Louisville.
For college?
When I was coming out of high school, yeah.
Did Doomerville go there?
Yeah, Elvis Doomerville.
That's where Elvis Doomerville went?
Yep.
So Orlando, Drew Locke just actually had his pro day. The Broncos are going to be bringing in for visits Drew Locke and Dwayne Haskins. Drew Locke of Missouri, Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State. Do you think this is Broncos doing their due diligence, or are the Denver Broncos actually entertaining making you get a tattoo?
Well, you got to look at it and just look at the whole picture. And after Peyton Manning walked out of here in 2015, they didn't have a solution at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were waiting on Peyton to make his decision. We all thought that he was going to retire, but we didn't know yet. And then Brock Osweiler ended up walking out the door when Houston was able to sign him in a free agency. So the Broncos weren't then forced to draft a quarterback. They didn't have a guy. They didn't see the guy on their roster. They had Trevor Siemian already there, but they didn't see him as the guy.
Mark Sanchez? You didn't think they were looking at
yeah, exactly, right?
No long-term solution, though, at that
time. Yeah, so now they get pushed into the draft, and they end up reaching on Paxton Lynch. And then we all know the story and how it ended with Paxton Lynch. You know, a first-round pick that was just here 2 years and got cut last year going into his third year, and the Broncos had to pay him all last season because that money was still guaranteed. So because they reached on Paxton and they didn't do their due diligence, they didn't properly vet Paxton Lynch, now this time around, you know, there might be a possibility Dwayne Haskins might be there at 10. There is a possibility that Drew Locke would be there at 10. So if you could bring these guys in and really sit them down and install your offense to them and see how much information they retain, why not? I used to hate, when I was coming out, I hated visiting with these coaches because literally they would teach you their offense in a classroom and teach you all the calls. And then after that, you'd go out on the field for about an hour and a half, and they'd work you out. And then after that, when you're sweaty still, they'd say, okay, let's go back to the classroom. And they would see how much of that information you just retained after an hour and a half of a workout. And literally, when you're not in a system and they're just teaching it to you on the fly and you're trying to learn it, you're able to associate different things and work on some different things for memory keys. But it's extremely hard to learn something, a completely different terminology that you never heard, go out, work out for now, hour and a half, and then come back and be able to recite that information. So they are going to be able to get a real good look at Drew Locke and Dwayne Haskins now by bringing him in. So the Broncos are doing what they need to do. They're going to properly vet whatever quarterback that they ever draft, whether it's in the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round. It doesn't matter. Vet these guys properly, because you never want to be in the same situation that you were in a year ago with releasing Paxton Lynch, or a couple years ago with drafting Paxton Lynch and not properly vetting him.
So what I'm hearing you say, though, is you think they are actually vetting him to legitimately possibly draft one of these guys. It's not just a smokescreen. Drafting one of these dudes.
I know that for certain for Dwayne Haskins.
Okay, why Dwayne?
Here was the thing. When the Broncos went to the Senior Bowl, there was Drew Locke and Dan Jones that were there. Right. After that, they went and traded for Flacco because they said, hey, you know what? These guys might not be our guys. But Dwayne Haskins, the whole time, he's been linked with the New York Giants. Never got a look. When they go to the combine, the Broncos don't talk to him because they're saying, hey, he's going to be gone. The Giants are going to take him. He's going to be Eli Manning's successor. And now, a week ago, it comes out, the GM for the Giants says, hey, you know what? We think Eli has plenty left in the tank. We stand behind Eli. So now, the red flags, you know, it's just ding, 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 ding. And the Broncos said, hey, you know what? Dwayne Haskins might be there. Let's properly vet this guy and see if he could be the face of our franchise moving forward, because there's a great possibility of him being there at 10 this year.
So with Dwayne Haskins, it wasn't a possibility. Now they think he could be here. I do think with the possibility of him slipping to 10, I don't think it's bad to take a look. But with Drew Locke, they are bringing him in as well. You said the Senior Bowl, let them know all they need to know. But why would they bring him in then?
I mean, you bring him. Why not bring him in?
Well, it's the quarterback position. Well, you said they
already knew what he... It's the quarterback position. The Broncos, when they went and got Joe Flacco, all it said was, hey, we're in win-now mode. We need a guy to come in here right now so we can win right now. But you also look at Drew Locke and say, hey, if this guy is a year away, You know, can he be our guy moving forward? There's no guaranteed money on Joe Flacco's contract. If we get rid of Joe after this 1 year and we have Drew Lock now learn from a guy like Joe Flacco, there's no problem with that. Here's the difference where you said, well, if you're going to draft a guy, why don't you play him? That's where you're getting ready to go, right? You draft a guy at 10, you should be playing him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the difference is with Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch was a first-round pick. Trevor Siemian was a late-round pick. The difference is if you draft a guy like Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock in this year's draft, they're competing against a guy who was a first-round pick. So I would be... I wouldn't have no issues them sitting behind a guy like Joe Flacco, who was a first-round pick, but also a Super Bowl winner, but also was a Super Bowl MVP at that. So I would say, hey, this is great. Let him learn. Because guess what? Our team that won the division in this last year, the AFC West, they did the same thing with Patrick Mahomes a year ago. They came, they drafted him in the first round. They sat him behind Alex Smith, the guy that was a first-round pick. And they said after that, they were like, okay, you know what? Patrick Mahomes is now ready to take over this program and be the face of the franchise and be the quarterback moving forward. And then they got rid of Alex Smith. Guess when? When there was no guaranteed money. They didn't have to pay him.
Ooh, look at you, financial advisor. So, so Orlando, this all seems very easy then. Draft a quarterback, wait a year, and we got the next Patrick Mahomes.
No, you properly vet all of these quarterbacks, and if you really believe that, hey, this quarterback has something, and he could be the guy moving forward, even if he's a year away, but he could be the guy moving forward for the next 15 years, you go and get him, because the Broncos lost 10 games last year, double-digit games. They only won 6 games. They're picking at 10 this year. Well, we already know that Tua, Fromm, and Herbert, those guys should be gone within the first 5 picks of next year's draft. Who's to say that the Broncos are going to be able to get in those first 5 picks to now go get one of those quarterbacks? So you evaluate the guys in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. If you can find one that works with your system moving forward, you take him in this year's draft because next year you're dealing with the unknown. Well, right now, we're still dealing with the unknown, but it's looking more and more likely as the days go on that Drew Luck and Dwayne Haskins will be there at 10. So properly vet them. If you see something you like, you pull the trigger.
So it's not a smokescreen?
No.
Well, they only get 30 pre-draft visits, so they're not wasting any of them.
No.
It's not a smokescreen. Are the Broncos a complete team? That's next. John Davis and Orlando Franklin sitting in today for the guys Stokely and Zach. Earlier this morning, Mark Schlereth and Troy Rank were discussing what type of teams win championships. Here's what Stink had to say.
Yeah, where are all those defense wins championship guys right now? The 4 top offenses represented the AFC and NFC championship teams, right? That played
Absolutely.
In that championship game.
Right. First time ever, the top 4 scoring offenses were the final 4 in the NFL.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I've always said, I don't buy any of that garbage. I think it's complete teams that end up winning. And, you know, and the New England Patriots did it again for the 6th time in the last 18 years where they ended up Super Bowl champions because they know how to be a complete team.
Big O, complete teams win. Obviously, I think you're going to agree with that. Or the Broncos. Yeah. How close are the Broncos to being a complete team?
They're getting there.
They're getting there? Baby steps.
They got a couple more holes to fill on offense and on defense, but they are going in the right direction, absolutely. I mean, the signing of Juwan James, you know, you finally shored up that right tackle position that's been a thorn in your side for the last 5 years. 11 different guys have started at that right tackle position in 5 years. That is nuts. You're averaging over 2 a year at that point. At a position where it's all about the continuity. It's all about having guys together for as long as possible. And the Broncos just have not been able to fix that. But also, you know, the guys that they brought in the secondary, Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, those guys are versatile players that now you're not really worried about the depth so much in the secondary because those guys could play multiple positions. And you already had Chris Harris that could play either side of corner, but also go on those and play inside in your nickel and dime package. So they're creating a ton of versatility in this secondary right now. So they're going in the right direction. I mean, they absolutely are going in the right direction. But are they fully a complete team? No, they're not. I mean, the most complete team in the AFC West right now is the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, we could argue or whatever you want to do about that. I mean,
what do you think I'm going to say?
Just in case you want that smoke.
Okay? Just in case I want that smoke. Well, you're being loyal to your Chargers.
Oh wow! Exactly. But I mean, when you look at it, right? I mean, KC. Last year, you know, on offense, you know, just literally lights it up. And then you see what happens when they get to the playoffs. They play Indianapolis Colts really well. They play, their defense plays really well. Mm-hmm. But then after that, their defense is basically non-existent against a great team that has a great offense in the New mm-hmm. England Patriots. So it's all about having a healthy balance of offense and defense. And because you need to be able to lean on the other side of the ball when the things are not going that great for either the offense, the defense needs to be able to step up. And we saw it this year in New England Super Bowl. I mean, you're seeing Tom Brady, and then you're like, okay, Jared Goff, this is going to be a high scoring Super Bowl. Well, no, it was 13-3, and Tom Brady didn't play his best. Obviously, he didn't. He didn't get the MVP of that game, but he played well enough where his defense literally just rallied behind him and held the Los Angeles Rams to 3 points and was able to win that game. So you got to have a healthy balance. And I totally agree with what Stink says. It's not just about having one side of the ball and just being, hey, well, you know what? We could just go out there and play defense and that's all we need to do, because that just is not what happens. I mean, we saw it in the two Super Bowls that the Broncos had played in most recently, mm-hmm. in Super Bowl 48, where you had a great offense and your defense was not, I'm not even going to say your Achilles heel, but it wasn't on par. It wasn't exactly the exact same as your offense was that year.
In 2013? Yeah. When you guys were really hurt too, so
yeah,
it was,
so I mean, you dropped that game. And then Carolina, vice versa, they have a in the Super Bowl that the Broncos beat Carolina, they have a great offense, but they don't have really any defense. And you saw what happened. The Broncos were able to win that football game where Peyton Manning just had to play at least average that game in order to be successful. So if you're seeing it go in the direction where it's all about the more complete team. And that's what happens when the salary cap raises in the NFL. You're able to pay more guys. You're able to bring in more help from the outside and free agency and be able to be complete on all three phases of the game, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams-wise.
So with the Broncos, I know what your answer is going to be, but what are they missing most right now? Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're missing the middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
Is that the biggest piece that's missing from them right now?
Right now, up on today.
As we sit here, March 21st.
March 21st, 2019. The Broncos' biggest piece that they are missing on this roster is a three-down linebacker that could be involved in all three aspects of all different aspects of the defense. Doesn't come off the field, but also calls this defense.
Why is that so important? Why is that what's keeping them? It sounds like not even complete as a team, but a complete defense. But why is a three-down linebacker, that middle linebacker, what is so important about it?
He calls the defense. He's in charge of getting the defensive linemen aligned when different offense goes in cross motions, and all of a sudden the strength of the offense changes. You might need to have that three technique now turn into a one technique and line up on the center and the guard, and on the opposite side, that guy that was originally a one technique bump out now to the three technique. Your middle linebacker is in charge of all of that, but also he's the middle linebacker. Your three down guy is in charge of always being on the field. So he has to be super knowledgeable of the game. He has to know the playbook inside and out, because he's forced into different positions when the Broncos are in their base 3-4 defense. Now he has to know that whole playbook. But also now when the Broncos go in sub personnel and they have four down linemen and three linebackers, he has to know that personnel and be able to get everybody aligned. But then when the Broncos go dime and they bring in an extra DB or an extra corner, he has to be able to know that defense and be able to get guys lined up and know that defense inside and out. Mm-hmm. He has to know the most. It's the quarterback of your defense. The Broncos are missing it. And if you don't have a three-down linebacker, who's going to really call the defense? Because now you're going to get into an issue where are there going to be two green dots? Is one person going to hear it? Is Todd Davis and Josie Jewell going to wear the green dot, be in the game in the, on the same time, but you like Todd Davis on certain situations in third down, and you like Josie Jewell on other situations and in passing situations on third down? And now, what if when the play is being called, what if they hear it differently? And now there's confusion in the huddle. So you need to find one guy that's going to be sideline to sideline, that's going to be available for all three downs, first down, second down, and third down on defense, but also has the mental capacity to learn everything that this defense is going to entail to be able to line up every other person that's on this defense as well.
So you say sideline to sideline. Talk about what they actually do when they're on the field that they're missing. Like, what's the most important role at once the ball's snapped? Of the middle linebacker, they're covering the tight ends.
Oh, yeah. On third down, they're covering the tight ends. First and second down, they're typically on the running back on those plays. But just getting those communication. Communication is key. And when you're having a head coach that's on the sideline, or you're having a defensive coordinator that's up in the booth and he's talking to you through your ear and through your helmet, there's only a certain amount of time that they're able to talk to you and let you get that play. So now you got to be able to communicate that fast with everybody else and get them lined up.
Okay, so what's the strength of this Broncos team right now? If you had to say offense or defense, if you had to pick one.
The strength of this,
if you had to say it's offense or defense.
It'd be offense.
The offense is the strength of this team.
Yes.
How? That what?
The offense is the strength of this team.
The offense that would go halves without scoring last year.
Well, you just went and got a quarterback that's going to compete.
Okay, they got Joe Flacco.
Yeah, so he's going to compete on third down. He's going to throw the ball down the field. We watched the games last year on Facebook Live. Case Keenum did not compete on third down. We know Joe Flacco's going to come in here, and he's going to throw the number that he needs to beat to have a better season is 18 touchdowns. Well, I would hope that he gets to 18 touchdowns at some point this season. So, when I look at the offensive line, you're a better team because of Mike Munchak. And he's going to be able to get this offensive line in shape. But you just went and got Juwan James and finally fixed that right tackle situation. Mm-hmm. Connor McGovern, I truly believe he'll be a better, if he's playing center this year, he'll be a better center this year than last year, because now he has a whole offseason to know and go into it and say, hey, I'm playing center. These are my flaws. I struggled with the guy crossing my face. I struggled with when the defensive tackle lined up on my snap hand. I need to work that each and every day in order to benefit and get better for my teammates. Then you went and got Wade Harmon, a great tight end coach. Well, I mean, that's a guy that had a Pro Bowl tight end in Atlanta, so he's going to be able to bring a little bit more to this tight end room that we've seen in the past just by his coaching. Rick Scangarello, younger, more innovative mind on offense. The offensive guys, you got the players. At least you can line up and say, hey, let's go out there and play football game right now, today. On defense, you're still missing guys. You cannot line up right now and say, let's go play a full football game on defense.
They're missing the middle linebacker, but who's it's John Davis, Orlando Franklin. We're talking about the completeness of the Denver Bronco right now. We're talking about offense or defense. What's the bigger identity of the team? Who's the best player on the team?
Who's the best player on this team right now? Having not seen Joe Flacco coming back from his injury, I'm going to say Von Miller.
It's Von Miller. Who's the second best player on the team?
Second best player on this team, I'd say
Chris Harris Jr.
No, I was going to say Emmanuel Sanders.
You think okay, I'm going with that. What's the strongest unit on the team?
The strongest unit on this team right now is tied between the running back room and DB room.
The DB room. Bradley Chubb, okay, and there's also Bradley Chubb in there.
Yes.
There's also Bradley Chubb. They're returning the D-line. The head coach, what is his mind?
He's a defensive mind.
This is a defense. Didn't get weaker.
The defense didn't get weaker last year. We returned every guy in the front seven last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we had two games that are back-to-back 200-yard rushers.
Did you just say the defense didn't get weaker last year? Was Aqib Talib on the team last year?
Up to your point, the defensive line, the front seven, did not get weaker.
Okay,
right?
But
we were a top five rush defense the year before. In 2017, you were top five as far as rushing.
Right.
Last year, were we top five? Were we top 10? Were we top 15?
No, but did the you said the defense didn't get weaker last year. Was Aqib Talib?
The front seven did not get weaker. Sorry. Let me restate my statement. The front seven, the pivotal point of when it comes to stopping the run, they did not get weaker. They were top five as far as their rush defense in 2017.
So you don't
last
think
year, we weren't even top 15. And we returned all seven guys that started the year before in the front seven.
So was the defense the reason the Broncos were in games last year?
Was the defense the reason what?
The Broncos, okay, so you look at the Browns game. They only gave up 17 points. They lost. You look at the Chiefs game. Did the defense overthrow Demaryius Thomas going down the field?
It's a team sport. You're talking about
it's a team
weaker.
Sport.
You're talking about we never got weaker.
The identity of the team's still got to be the defense right now. I'm not saying that can't change, but you think the offense is the stronger part of the team right now?
Right now, until you go get your middle linebacker, absolutely.
So the
you don't
offense,
have a guy. At least you have your quarterback on your offense. You don't have your quarterback on the defense.
So
right
Elijah
now.
Wilkinson, we're ready to go right there at right guard.
Whether it works out at right guard or left guard. Yes.
You trust Elijah Wilkinson?
Yes.
You trust this offensive line? In
his second year starting, yes.
They lost your guy, Matt Paradis.
I trust Elijah Wilkinson to be better than what he was last year. I trust Connor McGovern to be better than what he was last year. I trust...
But you don't trust
Ron
Josie
Leary
Jewell to be
to
better,
be
than,
better
he was.
Than he was last year. Josie Jewell is it's a different scheme, John. So offensive line, you got a run block, you got a pass block.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Josie Jewell... It's different. The biggest takeaway from a first and second down linebacker to a linebacker that can play all three downs is their ability to cover guys. It's going to be a little harder for Josie Jewell now to come in and turn into this guy that's great at covering tight ends and running backs.
Okay. So offensive guys help your argument, so we can trust them to get better. But the defensive guys, we can't
trust
them to get better.
Hold on. Do I think that Bradley Chubb's going to be better? Absolutely.
Bradley Chubb's going to be a lot better.
Exactly. But when I look at the style of play that Josie Jewell and the style of play of Todd Davis, they're right now in their careers, they are first and second down linebackers. These guys are put in there to stop the run. They're not put in there to cover these hybrid tight ends. They're not put in there to cover these third down running backs.
Okay, so from what I hear from you, until the Broncos get a middle linebacker, they're going to be 0-16. It sounds like this is everything you've got right on this team is the middle linebacker.
Until you get a middle linebacker. Okay, let me ask you this.
But, yeah.
Who did Vic Fangio that we just got, who did he have at the middle linebacker? Who was his two inside linebackers that could play all three downs in Chicago last year?
Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith.
Two great players, right?
Wonderful players, absolutely.
Okay. Who did Vic Fangio have when he was with the San Francisco 49ers? Let me finish.
Oh, you got
it.
I got to be dramatic. Well, don't pause so much. Ask me a question and then pause.
I haven't finished my question. Who did Vic Fangio have at the inside linebacker position? Who was his two inside linebackers with the San Francisco 49ers?
I started answering this and you said,
now
let me finish the question.
And,
but
now you
already asked that.
I needed
that.
To finish my whole question. So go
but
ahead.
But you did finish
Could
it.
Could you answer the question?
Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis.
Those are three down linebackers, right?
Yeah.
Who did the Broncos have as their three down linebacker last year? Was hurt a little bit.
Brandon Marshall.
He's not here no more, right?
Right.
So who do we have right now? Give me two guys that when it comes to mind and says, oh, man, I want to see that guy play against the tight end. I want to see that guy on third down. Who do we have?
I'm not denying that the middle linebacker is important, but the defense is still the stronger part of this team.
But I'm just asking, who do we have?
We don't have one right now.
Oh, okay.
We don't have one right now. So because of that, by the way, you say Joe Flacco. Let's go back to this powerhouse offense you're talking about. You would know. You played on 2013. You're seeing a lot of similarities here. Yeah. You think Joe Flacco's going to throw more touchdowns than Case Keenum?
More than 18, yes.
Okay, so 2013, Flacco threw 19, 2014, 27, 2015, 14, 2016, 20, 2017, 18, last year, 12.
Last year is the only time that he threw under 18, and... He got hurt and didn't finish the season.
He's not regularly slinging it around either.
I just said that he was going to throw more than 18. Through all the numbers that you just stated, there was only one season that he threw less than 18, and that was the season where he got hurt and didn't come back towards the end of the season.
So if Joe Flacco throws 20 touchdowns next year, the Broncos got a dynamite offense.
They got a better offense than they had with the Case Keenum. 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
It doesn't make them a more. It's John Davis, Orlando Franklin talking offense and defense. It doesn't make them the more dominant side of the Broncos team, though.
Right now, today, the Broncos offense have more pieces than the Broncos defense.
So Cortland Sutton's ready to go.
They could go out there and actually play a football game on offense. They would not be able to play a football game on defense right now.
Why not? Just because that middle linebacker? Everything else is ready to go. So who's the number two?
Oh, man, if I was a team, I would right now against the Broncos, I can't wait till third down. I know there's not a linebacker on this team right now that can literally cover one of these guys. You know what the Broncos would have to do if they had to play a football game right now? Mm-hmm. They would have to do it. They would have to take a book out of the Chargers playbook and play all their DBs in that situation.
They got a deep DB room. Sounds good to me. So Cortland Sutton, he's just ready to go against the number two corners all year because he struggled with it last year.
He's going to be a lot better than he was last year.
Okay, so again, the offensive guys can get better, but the defensive guys can't.
The best thing about Cortland Sutton, too, is towards the end of the season last year, the last four games, he was the number one wide receiver. If you started a football game right now and we're looking at this season, he's going to be the number two.
The number two. Emmanuel may not be fully healthy. I believe he can be because I think the guy heals unbelievably. Deshaun Hamilton, I liked what I saw from him.
Loved what I saw from him.
I liked what I saw. And I liked what I saw from Cortland, too. Tight end.
Jake Butt.
Tight end.
Jeff Heirman.
Oh, wait, Troy, let me know. Here goes. I expect them to get better. There's the argument.
They are going
to
be better because of the offensive coordinator is better. Our offensive coordinator has a better mind. He understands how to use these tight ends. And they got a great coach in Wade Harmon that they went and got from Atlanta last year.
And we'll just ignore Vic Fangio and his defensive mind because...
Here's my thing. Can we turn? Have we seen some flashes of Jake Butt, Jeff Heirman in the past? Could we turn them into a guy now scheming it? If we go out and scheme
a
defense, can we turn them into successful players? We saw early in the season the Heirman, the 10 catches in the game earlier on this year. Can we mimic that? Can we have that again?
So Jeff Heirman in 4 years had one 10 catch game, so suddenly Shannon Sharp. Heirman, I think he's a blocking guy. So I don't know how much you get out of that.
So you can't mimic that.
I don't think regularly with Heirman.
Okay.
Jake Butt, it's a health thing.
Okay.
With Jake Butt, it's can he say it? Guy's blown his ACL three times. I want him to.
Okay.
I think he could do it, but there's a lot of. I mean, Jeff Heirman has played.
Okay. And some, but to
Jeff Heirman,
right? You hope and maybe.
I haven't seen anything out of these tight ends that show me they can do anything.
Okay. I haven't seen anything out of Todd Davis and Joel Jewell that says they should be on the field.
You were losing your mind over the Todd Davis tackle in preseason last year.
First and second down.
Oh, so third down.
I mean, do you want to cover screens? Great. I think he has great instincts. Now, when it comes to putting him on a running back out there, and when teams line up and have the running back in the backfield, and the Broncos are going man-to-man, and all of a sudden they split that running back out in the slot position, and it's third and 10, and he's going to run a little bit longer route, I think a running back is going to be able to create separation on guys like Josie Jewell and Todd Davis.
Here's my point. I think I agree. The middle linebacker is a huge hole on this team, but I think it's the only hole on the defense.
When you go get a middle linebacker, right, not only do the Broncos need to go get one middle linebacker, they got to go get two.
Okay, what other holes are on the defense, though? What other holes are on the defense?
That's it.
We're talking about a complete team. So there's the middle linebacker position. Offense, what holes do they have? And it can't be guys we trust to get better. If you had to play today, which guys do you put money down, this guy's going to play good today? Like, is the offensive line complete?
I would say on offense, it would be a guy that I don't trust right now, even with Mike Munchak, Chris Cooper there, I would say Ron Leary.
And so, you think he'll actually be playing the right guard, right?
I think that's what I would do. Yes.
That's what you would do. So Ron Leary, you're fine. Wilkinson, he plays hard, so he could. I'm with you with Munchak. Maybe they can continue the improvement. McGovern, center, probably. So you don't think those are holes? You're totally comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with the coaching staff that we assembled. And the offensive coordinator that we have and the guys that are going to be coaching up this offensive line each day, I'm comfortable with all those guys except Ron Leary.
Let me ask you this. Biggest things keeping the Broncos from being a complete team?
Dynamic returner in the punt return and kickoff return game.
We ignored special teams. Look at you.
You need a Pro Bowl type linebacker. I mean, if you're able to get that, now you have Pro Bowl players on all three phases of the defense.
I wish you would bring that up more.
And what?
The linebacker. I'm joking.
Oh. And You need to find a way to develop one of these interior linemen into a Pro Bowl player as well.
One of the guards or center?
Yeah.
Any one of those three?
No.
And then the Broncos, you trust them to, at that point, if they can do that, they could be an 11-5 team.
They could be 10-6.
10-6.
Nope.
Okay, 10-6, that's not that complete of a team. The Drive is up next.